Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show and editor of the Pre-Market Prep website, which I will link below. Now, Joel, we're not focusing so much on the broad averages here, more on individual stocks, because one thing you were really pointing out to us off mic is some extreme volatility and moves that we are seeing in select stocks. We'll go through a handful of these stocks, starting with the Avis Budget Group. Now, this stock, boy, oh boy, did it ever take off. It opened the day at about 174, ran to a high of almost 550, and is now settling back around 325. This is all just trading today, so we have no idea where this is going to finish. But look, the Avis is showing the fact that they're individual stocks that can have massive moves on the back of earnings. But again, these are moves that seem extreme even for a company like Avis and Budget. Now, again, that symbol is CAR, C-A-R, on the NASDAQ. Joel, what's your takeaway just from the earnings out of Avis and the market reaction?
Unbelievable here. Well, good afternoon. Thanks for having me, guys, as always. I look forward to Tuesdays and coming on with you. They had a good report. There's no doubt that they had a good report. They made $10 a share, right? And well above estimates. And the stock had already been going parabolic. I mean, the stock had already been having a big move. And I just say what happened today was, it opened flat. Maybe the shorts thought, okay, maybe it's going to come in a little bit. Maybe they pressed their shorts and it just got, man, the machines just started buying. It's actually halted right now. I think, no, coming out of a halt. They're expected to make $6.50. They made $10.74. That's a 65% beat. They only beat on revenues by $300 million. I guess that's pretty significant, but it's just crazy to see this kind of move. And it's so hard because you own something like this, like you sell it at 400 on the way up, you feel stupid when it goes to nearly 550. But boy, oh boy, this is a dangerous market here, dangerous to be shorting, and but it's so on the way up, but just an unprecedented move, in the stock. I don't know if it ever get back up to that. What's the high today? Now you're over $200 off the high. 545.11 is the high in that one. Unbelievable move in CAR.
Well, Joel, I can't help but mention it reminds me a lot of what happened to Hertz, where Hertz was kind of in the crapper. It got turned around because of the meme stock movement. It had a short squeeze. This really reeks of another short squeeze-esque kind of moment on the back of good earnings. But the outside moves that we're seeing in some of these stocks, is there any other rental car companies that we should be looking at this year, Joel?
Hertz is moving up, right? And that went on the parabolic ride with it, too. It got over $45. I mean, who else is out there? I think this is a reopening play. Cars are hard to get. People are a little, airlines are just messed up with, canceling flights and everything. And it's hard to get cars and people are renting them. One of my producers noted that the median price from an Avis car rental jumped to $68 in May. That was up 50% from the median cost that they charged in May renters between 2015 and 2019. So the demand is there. They're getting rid of the discounts, and there you go. I think there might be HYRE. I think that's Hire Car Inc. That had a big parabolic move too. That popped over to 950, but that's since has come in through there. So I don't know. I wish I could have some better analogies for you, or better plays on that. But maybe buy Avis on a pullback. Don't ask me where.
Well, Joel, one of the things that I wonder in all seriousness is if this is a reopening trade issue. We're having shortages of the chips. I mean, the supply chain. We're having shortages of chips. There's shortages of new cars.
Yeah.
As a result, many rental car companies did not really buy enough new cars in their fleets. And now, to your point, with so many airport cancellations, it could be that there's just people pressing the issue and trying to get out of airports at any point by getting rental cars and driving around the country. They actually saw that at 9/11 when all the planes were grounded. None of the rental car companies had vehicles. So could this just be part of this overall trend that we're seeing, the results of supply chain interruptions?
Oh, I definitely agree. It's like the reopening plays. I mean, the remarkable thing about this car is that in March of 2020, it got down to $6.35. So, yeah, it's a reopening play for sure. And lack of cars, chips, I mean, it's all playing into it. So, congratulations, car shareholders. It just, I wish I was one of them.
So, Joel, when it comes to this reopening trade, though, before we move on to another stock, isn't this showing that there is still some life in the economy and that, well, quite frankly, maybe the economy is going to continue to grow and at least some of these companies that do produce some good revenue numbers, their stocks can take off because the stock was already at an all-time high, already practically double what it was trading from past all-time highs over the last 10 years. And now, well, it's just in the stratosphere.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of money out there. A lot of people making money off their altcoins and in the stock market. And so roaring 20s all over again. He had a lot of pent-up demand. So I did pose this question to someone yesterday that was on my show. Where would we be if we didn't have the pandemic as far as the, you know, the economy and just all of the... We probably would not have had all the stimulus poured into the economy. So, roaring reopening trade. And, you know, on the other hand, the stay-at-home, man, you can see it in the stay-at-home stocks that are getting killed. One in particular today is an online education course, Chegg Inc., that peaked earlier this year at $115.21. It just hit $33.30. It's down 46% today off a bad report. So right there, there's just more of an emphasis on your, stay at home versus reopening trade. And I was actually looking on the monthlies on that and, this is the lowest it's been since April 2020 when it was at 32.53. So the reopening trade in full bloom, the stay-at-home stocks, man, I don't know. I don't know what's going to take for them to recover. Hopefully they won't because that means we have another crisis on our hands.
Yeah, that is a very good point, right? It would be nice to see just some stability and consistent growth, I guess. But who knows how long that's all going to go, especially as we have the Fed coming out tomorrow with their taper announcement. Let's also talk about Tesla, too, because boy, oh boy, Tesla continues to be in the news. And now Elon Musk is talking the Tesla stock down. That being said, that this stock is still worth, I believe, more than all the other car companies combined. So still a lot of, I guess, hope and forward possibilities of what Tesla can do. I don't really understand how it's so high, but what are your thoughts on Musk's recent comments regarding his stock, Tesla?
Congratulations. I think that's, the innovator. I respect people that, obviously his innovations are, revolutionizing the auto industry. Also, what you have with them is it's a self-marketing company. They're not spending all this money on commercials, so they have very high margins. He just said that the deal wasn't signed with Hertz, and so you had the lower open. But if there's anything that I can teach your listeners on the show today or, the times I've been on, just the importance of closing prices. And also when a stock is making a new all-time closing high, it's really important and not I take note of that. Now, Tesla went off the board yesterday after a fantastic rally. It moved up from 1114 to 1208.59. Okay. You guys remember that number, 1208.59. This is also, there was rumors of another couple analysts came out and said there might be a stock split, right? That, you know what that did to the stock last time. Well, in after hours trading yesterday, the goose is saying another $15 over the closing price. They got it up to 16 bucks. It got it up to 12.2489, and then you had the rug pull, right? And you traded down. It opened the regular session right around 1160, 1170, and it had a nice rally, okay? Where do you think it went to the penny? To the penny!
I'm guessing 1208.69?
Yep, exactly. That closing price. People are like, whew, man, huh, down 80 bucks from the pre-market high. If I could get out at the close, I'm getting out at the close. And right there, I mean, a lot of times you see people stepping ahead of it. But look at that, 1208.59 close yesterday, high today. Now you're at 1162.5. I want to say Tesla's in a little bit of trouble. I don't want to, you know, don't quote me on saying the all-time highs and everything. But, man, to have the day, the runs that it had, to have the lower open, come back and test the close, what you're going to have now is the market dynamic now. Are people going back to 1208.59 tomorrow? I could be confident in that. And so, yeah, let's see if this this turns into a little bit more of a retreat.
Well, Joel, when I think of Tesla and electric cars and that market growing and market share, but contrast that with the really high energy prices, the oil prices, skyrocketing up, people paying more at the gas pump. Right now, we still have most of the country and most of the world still running on the internal combustion engine. So as much as EVs are making traction and it's great headlines, the reality for most people is they're still driving around with gasoline and petrol-fueled cars. And so when these oil prices and gas prices are hitting consumers at the pump, do you think if we keep seeing these elevated energy prices, it's going to put the brakes on growth? It's going to put the brakes on businesses, that it's going to have businesses passing these costs for freight and delivery and shipping along to their customers? How do you think that's going to play into the holiday season?
I absolutely agree with you. You've cut back on production for, what do you call it?
ESG movement?
Yeah, ESG. Yeah, I definitely see that. And we had a very respected analyst on our show today, Craig Johnson. He's the managing director at Piper Jaffray. He said that's the fly in the ointment. That's what's worrying him, is that, you know, hey, crude gets crazy, goes to 110, 115. You know, what's that going to do? That's going to put pressures on a lot of segments of our economy rely on the energy sector, right, for just the things that you mentioned. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. Right now, it's all, you know, all blanks and giggles and, you know, everything's going up. But that could be what, and also when you're looking at the inflation picture, I know they don't like to include crude in their numbers, but, you know, crude and food, you know, and your house. That's where the inflation numbers come in. And just a general comment, too. I mean, you know, for the reopening trade, as robust as it's been, your airlines are not participating. I mean, that's the biggest cost for them. The biggest component of their expenses is fuel costs. Now, some of them hedge. But if you look at those stocks, they are just not responding, to the reopening play. And cruise lines, yeah, fuel is a big component too. But that's one thing working against the airlines and the cruise lines moving forward.
Hey, even the mining stocks, we're seeing from their earnings that the higher energy prices are drastically impacting their bottom line. Joel, we always hear that the markets are forward-looking. Does this mean that oil prices are going higher, probably going to hit that $100, might even go over that $100 level?
I mean, you trend your friend, right? And until it's broken, right? I mean, I don't know. You think the frackers would be out there? I mean, you know, just pulling that stuff out of the ground. But, you know, you just have this pent-up demand. You know, you shut everything down, right? And then you have this pent-up demand, and then you reopen everything. A lot of lessons are being learned from this. But, looking at the crude, I mean, every single pullback is just bought in this thing. So we are now at our highest level. Let's see, what did we hit in July? That was actually October of 2018. We hit 85.65. Oh, wow, what we hit the other day? Huh, 85.41, interesting level. But, just keep an eye on that. And, companies that have a huge reliance on, gas or crude oil or products of that, that could be something that could hit the economy, maybe in the first quarter, second quarter of 2022.
Yeah, that's a big question too, right, is when higher prices do actually impact the markets. But I don't know, they seem to be taken okay by consumers right now, or at least not having that impact on the market. But again, over $100, that's a psychological level too that maybe could have some impacts. But either way, this week it still seems like we're all just waiting to hear from the Fed, even though they have outlined what it seems like they're going to go through in terms of their taper process. But again, everyone's going to dissect everything that Powell says, and we'll see how the market reacts. Joel, great chatting with you as always, buddy. Next week, I'm sure there'll be a lot more to talk about, but boy, oh boy, some of those stocks and the moves that we're seeing just shows how volatile these individual names can be and just how much money is in the markets still. Joel, thanks as always for your time, man. We'll chat next week.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen.